Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Coming up, Hill Notes, and tomorrow on this show, Rob Ninkovich in the studio with us talking football. It is NFL trade deadline day, and the latest for you all day long here on this radio station. So make sure you bring the app with you wherever you go today. So you should the Patriots make a move of a major import, then we can alert you immediately on the Odyssey app, or you can also listen on the iHeart app. We're all over the place. You can stream us at WEEI.com. You can listen old school style on any of the radio stations we have for you all over New England. 1 week from today, it is Lunch with a Hero. I have argued all morning that it might be the best thing we do all year. And so if you are caller number 9 right now on the contest line, then you can bring your hero to lunch. We will treat them to lunch at Aviva Trattoria in Stoneham. And on Veterans Day, we can thank them for their service, whether they are currently serving this country or have served this country. We have had the opportunity to meet some incredible women and some incredible men who gave time for this country and for the rest of us. And so we would love to get the opportunity to say thank you with lunch a week from today. So call right now, 617-931-0937, and tell us why your hero is your hero, and then bring them to lunch with us. You can also go to the contest page at WEEI.com and sign your hero up for Lunch with a Hero that way at Aviva Trattoria in Stoneham. And this is Tom from Marblehead. What's up, Tom?
Hey guys, how's it going?
Great.
What's up? Just on the Jaylen Brown point, my issue with like the whole him being a leader talk is, let's just look at last night as an example. You know, leaders to me don't really sit there and just kind of blame somebody else, like the refs. They just kind of like, two things can be true. Yeah. One thing can be true is that they went 11 for 51. The other thing that could be true is that, you know, the refs ended up costing them the game at the end. But I just think a leader just, you know, brings that context into play when he's talking in a post-game interview and kind of takes accountability. So I'll just kind of hang up and listen from there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he can take accountability and also talk about the refs. We have plenty of leaders that do that, whether it's Mike Vrabel or any other leader. Like the fact that he's fiery, that's one thing.
Well, I don't think Mike Vrabel goes out of his way in a loss to blame the officials for it. He hasn't done that. We do ask him when he's fired up about a call.
Right. Mm-hmm. Only when I ask him, then he gets off his game.
It's the smirk, Curtis. It's not the question. It's the darn smirk.
You know what the greatest feeling in the world is? When you see someone's enraged or angry and they'll say something, they're about to say something they don't really want to say. And he was the second, because it was so funny yesterday because this thing went crazy. Yeah. The question was regarding the national conversation surrounding his team.
Yeah.
Which is a statement of fact.
I don't think he was mad at you. I think
he was mad about that.
Yeah.
And then he saw my smirk, and that just got it sort of elicited a reaction. But
no,
it was great.
It was, I think I sent it to you guys. It was a headline on the Fox News site.
Yeah.
Which said, Mike Vrabel gives fiery response to radio host questioning Red Hot Patriots' joke strength of schedule. And I was like, wow.
Right.
I mean, I didn't think.
Because Mike, that's what. I'm not saying Mike thought that, but Mike was like, oh, do you feel like our schedule's a joke too? Kind of like he thought the question that you're asking is kind of like condescending. Like, listen, let's be honest. You haven't played anybody good. And so he's like, oh, you feel like the rest of the national media in the sense like, oh, it's about who they're playing. And so he took that as a little bit of a shot.
Yeah.
I was just finally happy it was a New York Post story that wasn't negative.
But Courtney, and you are a Jaylen Brown fan, and have been always. This is what he said post game, blaming the officials for the loss.
You can't have a mistake like that as an official at that point in the game. It's fourth quarter, it's a minute left in the game or less, and you completely the whole staff blows the f*** off. You know what I mean? Cost us a game, like unacceptable. You can make mistakes at any point of the game, but right there, that wasn't good. That wasn't good. That's unacceptable. And then they're telling me like, oh, like we didn't see it. Like how none of you see it? Like you can't trip somebody in the fourth quarter and then just be a no call. It's some bull.
But he was asked about it again. Like,
yeah, but it's not being asked about. It's the way he said it. I don't think that's leadership. Like what cost you the basketball game was shooting 11 for 51 from beyond the arc.
That was part of it. You were old. Jaylen was 0 for 9. I listen. I agree. The refs blew the call, and I think if they make the right call, they win the game. My concern is not with Jaylen as a leader. My concern is Jaylen. You got to do more for this team. Like you got to be the Giannis. You got to be the Tyrese Maxey. You even got to be like Austin Reeves, who's averaging 31 a night and he's averaging 9 assists. Like the ball is in your hand. For you to be averaging 26 and 4 rebounds and 4 assists is not going to get it done.
And you brought that up earlier. Like you're not getting the assists that you would get from Jason Tatum, from Jaylen Brown.
Not getting the rebounds.
And you're not getting the rebounds. And that's the difference between the two of them.
But you are also missing a massive point. It's not the same team minus Jason Tatum that you had last year. Kristaps Porzingis was a massive guy who was able to get rebounds and get you tons of points last season. You don't have him anymore.
But he was available. I mean, he was out for a considerable amount of time.
But regardless, he was a guy who I think we praised a lot in the seasons that we had him. It's not just a team without Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown as a leader now. It is a completely different team without Jason Tatum, with Jaylen Brown trying to be the leader and figuring out his new role. So I just think saying, oh, if you just switched the roles, you wouldn't be having this issue. I think if Jason Tatum was in and Jaylen Brown was out, we'd be seeing a lot of the same issues that we're seeing right now.
But wasn't Jaylen Brown complaining about his role last year, too?
Yeah.
And I don't know about that. I think if Tatum...
Because he thinks he's a one.
And I think if Tatum's out there, he is doing more for the team. That's the thing. I think that's the thing when you're looking at this situation. Jaylen has got to now do everything. Remember there were games last year when Jaylen Brown didn't play and Porzingis wasn't playing. It was just Tatum and, you know, Holiday and whoever. You have to become that guy.
And there were times last season where Jason Tatum didn't play and Jaylen Brown was that guy. They've both had games
but he hasn't been that guy through the first eight games of the season.
And I'm hoping that he gets back to that. I'm just saying that we look back at the last two seasons and there have been times where Jason Tatum's been out and Jaylen Brown stepped up and Jaylen Brown's been up and Jason Tatum stepped up. There's also been times where Jaylen Brown's been out and Jason Tatum hasn't stepped up and vice versa.
I agree with that. But let me ask you this honestly. If we were in the same situation with Tatum, with Brown being done for the, you know, out for a long time, being hurt like Tatum is, would the criticism be the same that we're giving Jaylen right now?
I don't think so. I think that Jaylen Brown gets way more criticism than Jason Tatum does. If Jason Tatum was in and Jaylen Brown was out,
you think it would be the same?
No, people would be looking around saying, oh, we're without Kristaps Porzingis. We're without this guy from last year, Holiday. Like, there would be a different narrative around it. And I don't think that just if you were to switch the two and Jaylen Brown was out for maybe the entire season and Jason Tatum was in with the team they have right now, that this team would be incredible.
No, no, but you think that we'd be sitting here going, well, it's the team. It's
I think
this
you'd
one,
be blaming other people.
I think that we'd be sitting here going, Tatum can't go 0-9. How are you going to be all NBA player? You want to be like Kobe. You want to be like this. But people would be absolutely lambasting Jason Tatum if the team was 3-5 and the struggles were the way they were.
And that's the difference between the two, that Tatum has always received criticism. Even when games where he's played well, Jaylen Brown has almost never been the number one guy getting ripped by the Celtics fans.
Not the number one guy, but he has gotten ripped season after season. Jaylen Brown has been criticized more than anybody else on that team. Like, I understand that this is a fan take, I guess. But the way that I listen to other people talk about how, like, oh, now Jaylen Brown is getting this criticism he never got before, I feel like I'm living on a different planet.
Let me ask you this. Do you think their record would be the same if it were Jaylen Brown that
yes,
was out?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Yes.
You do?
Yes. I think if Jaylen Brown was out and Jason Tatum took the reins,
if Tatum was here, he'd be getting the same criticism. Like, Jaylen Brown is not really getting any criticism. Who's criticizing Jaylen Brown?
We just had a caller say that we should ship him out.
I might be the only one who sees it this way, but the energy I have gotten from Jaylen Brown is... not that he said it, it's just the energy that he gives is, I want to be the alpha. I am bothered at times that Jason Tatum is the guy.
Well,
and so
from
my perspective is, he has the opportunity now. Are you gonna be able to step up and show me that?
Yeah, I hope so.
And I haven't seen
And I blame Missoula. I could be wrong about this team. I did them have them as a top three team in the East because I thought, looking at the Eastern Conference, I don't like what Missoula's doing. I didn't like his two-on-one kind of objective on what they're doing. Like, I get it, but let the two-on-ones be getting to the rim. I don't like the fact that they're still hawking up 48 three-pointers a game and you're still giving guys the green light to do that. I don't like the fact that you're starting some guys that I think would be better for you coming off the bench, and that, you know, IEP Pritch, you did it with Sam Hauser, and I feel like Sam Hauser has kind of played a little bit better because he doesn't have to worry about coming into that being a starter.
Find a two-on-one. What does a two-on-one present? Two shooters on the two-on-one? If two shooters on the two-on-one, there's not two shooters on the two-on-one, you create a two-on-one in a different way.
What's crazy is that worked really well against Turpin.
And so, like,
if you want to be the one, you have to play like you are the one.
Right.
And I don't know. You have to have some self-awareness. Like, I mean, you know, I can't go out there. I can't go out there thinking I'm a 10. I'm at best an 8.5. Like, you know, and I'm self aware about that. You know what I mean, Curtis?
Amen, brother.
And Courtney, it's still early, so I'm not completely off the Jaylen Brown.
I like that sweatshirt on you today.
Oh, thank you.
Very nice.
I'm not completely off that. I just want to see Jaylen do more to be like, all right, like, I want to see you, because the ball is in your hand most of the time, so I want to see you be more of a facilitator, getting guys involved, get more rebounds. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you got to score more because you're out there and you got to carry the team. I want to see more of that from him.
This is Neil from Portland, Maine. Hello, Neil.
How's it going, guys?
Neil, would you agree with me that Street and Company is the best restaurant in Portland, Maine? Agree or disagree?
I would agree. That's a good call.
All right. On Jaylen Brown?
Real quick, I'm here to defend Courtney a little bit. I'm a big, big Jaylen Brown fan, a diehard. If you look at what Jaylen Brown did, even in postseason play, clutch moments, big shots, what he doesn't do, though, is he doesn't relate to the other players. If you watch White plays off of Tatum well, so does Pritchard. Jaylen Brown's an alpha scorer. That's what he does. He scores the basketball. So at the end of the day, they're going to be in big trouble because Tatum is a guy that other players can relate. Brown will never be that. He can just score in every moment, clutch moments. that's going to be the problem this year.
Yeah. All right, Neil, thank you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates. From all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
High noon, Jones and Keith. It's a Wednesday here on WEEI. And that means it's time for Pure Hoops with Terp. Justin Turpin, WEEI.com. What's up, Turp?
Pure Tank. Let's do it.
Oh, boy.
I'm only kidding.
I know. You're not there yet. Although it does not look great.
It doesn't.
It's been a rough go. I mean, it's one thing you mentioned like early in the season, you get the Knicks or you're home against the Rockets. Like, okay. But that Jazz game and the way they lost it, getting smoked on the boards, they can't throw in the three at all, and the Jazz aren't good. And so that was frustrating.
Yeah, my biggest issue with the Jazz game is you even have Joe Mazzulla calling them out for their effort after the game. Like, that's unacceptable for this team. And you'd think that wouldn't be a problem with this team it's full of guys that are trying to prove themselves. In some cases, these guys are playing for what's next. You would think the one thing that you can expect night in and night out, and I get it's an 82-game season, and you know you're not going to have your all every night, but for this team, the one thing you would expect to be a consistent thing is their effort. Mm-hmm. And for Joe Mazzulla, who really steers away from calling out his players in any form publicly to the media, for him to go out and say that they got outplayed, I thought that was very telling. So you just can't have that. Like, obviously, there's deficiencies on this roster. That it has major flaws. The one thing you can control is your effort. And for them to not do that and drop a home game when they were 10-point favorites to the Utah Jazz, who were on the second night of a back-to-back, that's just not acceptable.
Who do you think he's calling out?
I think it was, honestly, the only one I thought that played with effort was Jaylen Brown from start to finish. And it goes beyond his scoring. He did everything he possibly could have to give them a chance to win. Even late in the game, he dove for a loose ball and saved the possession there. Like, he was laying out. He gave it all he had. The rest of them, it just wasn't consistent. And that's been a problem for him. Like, we talked about it last week, too, where they had the 40-point quarter against the Sixers, the 40-point quarter against the Knicks. I mean, the biggest thing with defense, and obviously, like, the personnel is going to play into this. Like, they're not the greatest defensive team with their personnel. But you control that with your effort. And at times, we've seen that wane, and it just can't happen.
Okay. So you think Jalen's giving good effort. So everybody else is on the table. Who's the biggest offender in terms of lack of effort, at least in the game the other night?
I mean, it's hard not to look at Kata for that box out at the end of the game. I mean, you can't have that. Like, that's your biggest player on the floor. That's your center. You can't get out rebounded in that scenario there. And I thought in the first quarter he was great, but after that kind of slowed down a little bit. He's had his moments, and you know, I've been overall pretty impressed with him. I think he's answered the call with what he's been asked to do as the starting center. But in that situation, you cannot be out-rebounded. You have to come down with that board. And Joe kind of brought that up, too. Like, there's some that we just need to rebound. Obviously, rebounding is going to be an issue for this team. We've been talking about that since the first time we started having these hits again. Like, it's going to be a problem, right? Your top rebounders from a year ago are gone. Luke Kornet, Al Horford, Jason Tatum is arguably the best rebounder at his position, and Kristaps Porzingis. Like, those guys aren't there. Like, to steal the line for Rick Pitino, they're not walking through the door.
No,
and so you're going to have issues with your rebounding, but there are some that inexcusably you have to have, and I think that was one of them.
What do you think is going on with Derek White? I think he is the biggest issue overall on the team, and it's just because I had high expectations for him, right? Like, some of the other guys you're not expecting as much, and you're thinking with all the scoring that has left the team, he was going to step up, and he'd be an obvious guy to be the number two option offensively. And then, you know, he's a good defensive player. I thought he might even make a run at an all-star team. He's been incredibly disappointing.
Yeah, I think it's a mixture of two things. Like, both can be true. One, that he could be missing shots that he typically makes, and, you know, the tracking data wouldn't line up with that. But we've been talking about this for a while, that you look at the tracking data, it's more so just a point of reference where, like, how many of their shots are considered open. Like, you can't take that thing for what it's worth and look at it as, like, totals. Because the other night, the NBA had 50 of the 51 shots that they took were considered open to wide open. Watching the game, you know that was not the case, right? Like, there was a couple that were contested. So part of it is that he's missing shots that he usually makes. But other than that, too, I think it's just like he's adapting to a new role, and he struggled with that. And in the past, like, you've had guys that can space the floor, that can create open shots for him, that can screen for him. And it's a lot different now where he's creating a lot for himself. It's a lot off the dribble. It's not as much catch and shoot. And, you know, that's been a problem.
You know, real quick on White. So the season opener, he had 25 points. They lost that game, but he had 25 points, and you're like, all right, this is probably what he's going to be like. Like, they need people to score. After that, he went 15, 15, 11, 19, 15, 5, and 10. And just going to his playoff log from last year, it was way higher. And that was with Tatum for most of it, with Holiday, with Horford, with Porzingis, like all these guys that he was playing with. Yeah, and I just wonder if he's, you know, not cut out for being a number two or maybe even a number three. Like, I think he's a really useful player when he's like the fourth guy. Like, I don't know if he's even going to be able to like grow into that.
Yeah, I think that also, you know, there is some patience that's needed with that. Like, they've only played 8 games, and we talked about this, like the schedule that they faced going into this, like, three of the teams that they've played already had 50 wins last year. Mm-hmm. Four of them finished top six in the Eastern Conference or better last year.
One was the Jazz, though. Well,
exactly. And that was completely inexcusable. Like I said, like, the biggest thing with that is the effort, and that cannot happen. But I think there is kind of a learning curve, and they're going through that. But eventually you need to see the results turn. Like, we're nearing the 10-game mark, right? Like, and I think that's a healthy enough sample size where it's like, okay, by now you should start to figure things out. And you did have the preseason as well. Like, those guys got run together. So it is still a work in progress, but, like, that's only an excuse for so much longer, right? At times, like, at some point, it has to change.
Terp with us here, Pure Hoops with Terp, every Wednesday at high noon. You can follow him on Twitter at Justin M. Terp. And if you got Twitter questions, rather, dial us up, 617-779-7937, or you can ask some questions on Twitter as well, at Jones and Keith. You said yesterday when we were talking about this off the air, Terp, they actually took a lot of open shots. 50 out of 51 threes, I think, were considered open.
That was the
open.
NBA tracking. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Which
again, this is kind of a point of reference.
I'm not going to debate they're open. Fine. They're open threes. Are they taking good shots?
I think so. I think there have been some that, you know, haven't been great looks, but that's going to happen when you're taking 51 of them, right? Like, just the sheer volume of it, you're going to have some that aren't necessarily good looks. But for the most part, I think they have been decent looks. And the reality is, it's like, that's probably their best chance of scoring, right? When you look at guys like Anthony Simon, Sam Hauser, Peyton Pritchard, and Derek White, like, those guys are great three-point shooters. Even Jaylen Brown, before he went 0-for-9 the other night, was shooting a career high. I think he was making like 50% of his three-point shots. So it is part of their offense, obviously, and Joe Mazzulla's, you know, been very clear about that from day one, that it's, you know, it's creating the two-on-ones, creating the open shots, and if the open shot's there, you need to take it. And for the Celtics, oftentimes that comes from beyond the arc. So I think I don't necessarily have a problem with the shot diet and the shots that they're taking. I think most of them have been good. But of course, when you're taking 51, like, or, you know, 50 of them aren't going to be open or wide open like the NBA tracking data stated. Like, again, that's a point of reference. So you look at that and be like, okay, majority of them are good looks, but, you know, of course there are some that, you know, aren't as great.
Yeah, because I just, you know, obviously there's like a pushback for like, oh, how many threes they take, and like that's and been done to death, and there's going to be a million threes. That's sort of their style. But it made more sense the last few years to me because you had the personnel for it. You were winning, right? So it was easier to be like, well, yeah, we're shooting a million threes. We lose the occasional game, but it's working for us. But now, like, they have lineups where, you know, Cade is not shooting threes. So if when he's out there, right. Now you have, now at best, you have four guys that are shooting threes. You do have guys like White and Pritchard who right now can't throw it in, and hopefully, you know, that'll change around. But I wonder if it seems like Mazzulla is kind of coaching it the same regardless of the roster, even though the roster is not nearly as good as it was.
I think it's different. I think people are looking at the three-point volume because it's always been the number one pointer.
Yeah. Well, like, it leaves the league again. Been, you know?
Right, because again,
and
they don't
shooting second worst percentage.
They shoot the second worst percentage. They are attempting the most threes, which threes are a part of the modern NBA.
Obviously.
But you don't have to lead the league and, you know, set records like they did. Like, they don't have to be that skewed that way.
I thought they would be lower this year, and it was because Jaylen Brown's going to be your leading scorer, and I think the best Jaylen Brown games, he takes way more twos than threes. And I'm like, all right, when Tatum's scoring close to 30 points a game, if he ends up taking 8 to 10 threes, I get it. It's like part of his game, part of the flow, also sets up guys more. I thought maybe they wouldn't. So I'm a little bit and then you throw in Kata compared to Porzingis or Horford. Like, I thought we might go away from it a little bit, but they really have not. Yeah,
especially
at all.
Without a true, like you said, a true stretch five.
Right.
Like, you
right.
don't have Al Horford in the corner anymore. You don't have Kristaps Porzingis. Luke Kornet wasn't obviously a 3-point shooter. Well, he was before he got to the Celtics.
Oddly enough,
he ditched that when he got here.
Yeah.
Strange.
Yeah.
But with him, though, his screening, like, he's one of the best screeners in the game. And I think screening is something that's very overlooked in the NBA. Like, it's almost like an offensive line, right? Like, when the offensive line's going great and things are going well, you're not talking about it. And same thing with the screening. And you're starting to see that now because I think the screening has factored into some of the shots they've taken. Like, it's just not as good as it has been in the past. So I think that plays into it. But the reality is like, the roster just has flaws. And on some nights, they're going to be able to make up for it with their shooting. And others, they're not. But like, when you're shooting 20% from three or whatever it is, it's going to be tough to overcome that.
And some of the roster flaws aren't their fault, Tatum getting hurt, but a lot of them are. Like, a lot of that was a conscious decision by the new ownership group, which I think should frustrate Celtics fans. Why was Jaylen so, speaking of being frustrated, why was he so frustrated the other night? Was it just about that call, or is there a bigger level of frustration going on with him?
It was about the call, and rightfully so. Like, they missed that call. Now, granted, and I always like to remind this, like, when you're talking about a call at the end of the game, there are so many things that went wrong that led to that. Like, you can never point to just the final game. They are 10-point favorites. Like, that, you can't just blame the call. But that is a big call in a big spot, and it did end up costing them the game in some sense. So I get his frustration, and he ended up proving right. Like, I don't know why the NBA does this, but they still do the last 2-minute report.
I don't know if it
helps
them.
Like, they admit that they missed the call, but, like, great, what does it do? Like,
so at the very
call.
Least,
saw
it's some
person.
Accountability. I mean, I don't have a problem with that.
At the very least, they should. I don't know if Jaylen Brown's been fined yet.
Not yet.
But he should get his fine taken away. If they're like, he was complaining about a call that was proven to be wrong, then in that case, they should take it away.
Accountability is great, but like it's what not like it really the referees don't get fined. They don't get suspended.
No, they'll be
like,
back
nothing
out
actually
there.
Happens. Like, okay, we missed it. Like, sure. Like, I guess
no other league even does that.
No, I mean, yeah, I guess it is nice to have that affirmation, but like, everyone saw it in the moment. Like, he was totally tripped, and you know, he was frustrated.
I didn't really see it.
The last two-minute report said they got it wrong, but I'm with you. I didn't
because he got in the way, but
bad.
I thought he was slipping ahead of time. But whatever. Like, they even had the lead after that. You know, like, it wasn't like that was like the last play of the game.
Utah also missed the shot and grabbed an offensive rebound and put it back.
Right.
Like, you know, everyone's going to get tied up with the call. Again, there's so much more that went into that.
You don't think there's more going on with it? Like, Jaylen felt he was disrespected, like he didn't get a superstar call. Or even, you said, you think he was the only one giving effort, nobody else was. Like, you don't think that level of frustration was about anything else?
I think he was frustrated with the loss. Like, I think everyone was frustrated with the loss. And Jaylen did mention in the question after, he's like, we cannot have teams on the second night of a back-to-back coming in and just doing whatever they want and beating us on our home floor like that. And it was a frustrating loss. So, yeah, I think there was more to it, but I think most of it stemmed from the call rather than, like, you know, an issue with the teammates or whatever. You know what I mean?
Where are you at on the, like, the big man rotation? You know, I think last time we talked to you, Kata and Minot were, like, trending up a little bit more so.
We've seen Garza in there a little bit. Tillman's still getting a little bit of run. Who do you think is kind of emerging from that group?
For the most part, Cato's been good. Yeah. He's been solid. He's impressed me a little bit. Obviously, like, you know, he's had his moments in the past, even when he was the third center on this team, or even the fourth center. Yeah. Like, he had his moments, and he won them games. But I think he's done a great job so far. Obviously, like, there has been moments it's like, okay, like, you can't have that, like the offensive rebound late in the game the other day. Like, you can't have that kind of stuff. But all in all, he's been good. Josh Minot's another one where, you know, he's
a lawnmower.
He's been in the starting lineup for good reason because he brings that energy and that edge that they need to play with. I think he does a good job of setting the tone. Like, him and Jalen both play with that edge, play with that like that fire, that competitive spirit. Like, that's what they need. You know, they need to punch above their weight class in most nights, and that's how you do it.
You mentioned numerous times in the offseason, like, wait till after the first seven games, bet the Celtics over, then they lose game number eight against the Jazz. Should they tank right now, Terp, yes or no?
I'm going to take a similar approach to Keith with the Bruins here, and I would say give it a little bit longer because the schedule does open. They played eight games,
okay,
right? And there's eight new faces.
But fine. So your answer right now is table it for now.
Yes, you played eight games.
Don't tank yet. At what point do we look at it if they're still struggling and you say it might be time to really consider
I think
that?
Probably right around like the Christmas mark. I think that's where you can look at. Because if you look at their schedule coming up, there's a lot of winnable games and games that they should
including be tonight, able to Washington
have.
Including tonight.
Including tonight. Orlando struggled. Yep, they go back-to-back with
Orlando. Orlando's been bad.
They've been bad.
I watched a good chunk of that Hawks game last night, Bragg. They look bad.
Is that the game? Oh, yeah, Bane got tossed, right? Yes. Chucked the ball at somebody.
That was bad. If you could just like go through their schedule, like they already beat Philadelphia once. It went down to the wire the first game. They get Memphis, and they're a mess.
Dude, what's going to happen with John Morant?
I mean, it's getting to a point where you have to trade him.
They have to, but like, he's still a really good player, but now you see a lot of guys calling him out left and right. So like Perk did, but Perk did it in the way that he got everybody pissed off. But like Blake Griffin was like straight up calling him out. That seems like a mess.
They
can't keep him there. But he's super talented. So I wonder what you would get and like what kind of team would bring him in with the money that he's making.
Some team will bring him in. Yeah. Like, he's an all-NBA player
he's great,
when he's healthy.
But
like, some team will go out.
But like if it doesn't work, you'd be like, well, are there any signs? Were there any signs it wasn't going to work with him? Like, oh, I didn't see it.
It feels like it's pretty apparent that his future is not in Memphis.
Yeah.
Like, he is going to be dealt out at some point.
Maybe send him to Philly for like a beat or something. Like,
would they want to mix that up with their front
scenery?
Court or with their backcourt?
No, that's true.
Like,
those guys are playing well.
Maxie, like Maxie's playing at like, MVP level right now.
And
obviously, it's only been eight games, but you know, he's been phenomenal.
Do you speaking of the way teams are starting? Oklahoma City's 8-0. They beat who they beat last night? The Clippers. I'm sorry. So they're 8-0.
Yeah, that was the 11 o'clock game.
Oh, that was last night. You were talking about this yesterday. Oh, I thought that was coming up later this week.
I think it was last night. They started at like 11:10 Eastern time.
Okay, so OKC is the only undefeated team.
Without Jalen Williams.
Good point. So last year, Missoula's like, well, what? You expect we were going to be better than we were the year before? And we're like,
we did
actually expect that. We thought you would defend your title and we thought you'd win more regular season games and you didn't. So, that's what we expected. Is Oklahoma City, are they going to make last year's Celtics look even worse? Like the way they're starting, the way they're playing, the way that they're ready to go, the pace they're on, maybe they defend their title. Are they going to make the Celtics look even worse for not playing well in the regular season and repeating?
I mean, right now they're on pace to go 82-0. So they look strong right now. But I mean, again, it's so early in the season, it's tough to kind of look at that right now. I mean, definitely they could. I mean, what they've done is incredible. This is their first 8-0 start in franchise history, I believe.
Well, they would have to, they would have to obviously win the title. We're a ways away because I think if they win the title, if they fall short, even if they have an awesome regular season, because like the Warriors, one of their years that they.
Let's just start with the regular season, though. Even if they win more games than they won a year ago, they won 68 last year.
Yeah. They win 70 games.
I don't take back expecting the Celtics to win more regular season games last year than they did 2 years ago.
They won three fewer. Yeah.
I think Oklahoma City could do that. But there has been this like ongoing conversation about teams not repeating, and now it's become like a thing in the NBA. We're like, well, now it used to be like common to repeat. Now it's super tough to repeat, right? Like nobody's repeating. I feel like there's a lot of ways to excuse it away, or not excuse it away, but explain it with like certain teams and why they didn't. So if Oklahoma City does, then that would make the Celtics look worse because you're like, well, the Celtics were primed. They were lined up for it. This wasn't a bubble season. This wasn't Kawhi Leonard there. This wasn't like a few different things. And if Oklahoma City wins it back to back right after you did, then yeah, that's pretty telling.
I'm looking at the Celtics started 7-1, then they lost their ninth game 7-2. They were 9-3. They started 16-3. So they started better than I remembered. Yeah. I guess
they also haven't necessarily had a murderer's row here to start. Oklahoma City, they got the Hawks, the Mavericks, the Kings, the Wizards, the Pelicans. Like, not necessarily great. Yeah. The first two games of the season with the Rockets and the Pacers. Back-to-back double overtime game. So I think that was
or they beat the sign. Rockets, and we saw what the Rockets did to this team.
But I'm just saying, like, you saw back-to-back double overtime games to begin the year. Like, we heard all last year about, even the Celtics were talking about it, every night you're getting a team's best, and they're, punching above their weight in a lot of cases.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, I know he's not the most fun player to watch, but he's playing like the MVP again.
He's led them scoring in, 7 of their 8 games.
Yeah, he's insane.
It's incredible.
Okay. Pure Hoops every Wednesday at high noon with Terp. Check him out at Justin M. Turpin on Twitter. Follow all his work at WEEI. Terp, as always, we appreciate it. Thanks so much.
All right, guys.
Thank you, Terp.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates. From all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Well, finally, a proper throttling of the Washington Wizards by the Boston Celtics last night.
Oh, yeah.
We've been waiting for that.
We have. JP was good. He looked good, man.
He did.
Can I give him a little bit? Excuse me. And I know it's probably coming from me.
No, I get it. Don't do it.
I
think I know where you're going. Do not embarrass the man publicly.
No, no, it's not. Been, I think it happened again, and he knows it.
It's been.
He doesn't care, though, clearly, which I kind of respect.
I think the others who are rubbed with his hair stuff may care about it. Like, I don't want to play in a basketball game in the NBA and get somebody's
Beijing.
Hair, somebody's Beijing all over me. It did happen again.
Yes.
It's better than getting like blood or bodily fluids on you. Like, so
no, I get
it's not that big of
a deal. But for me, it's not about the guy getting it. It's the memes that they make of you, right?
But he's in on the joke, which I love.
And I love that. But that's why I'm saying It's like, you know, hey, Teddy Pendergrass had a song, man. Sometimes you got to let it go, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, let it go.
He'll be very handsome bald.
Yeah, you got
that. They also have a song like that in Frozen.
Yeah, I mean, the ladies, the women, they'll call him a chocolate dropper.
Yep.
And he's got, you know, the nice smooth milk dud. He's got the beard. He's got everything. It works out good. I mean,
he should just shave it all off.
Just let it go,
like,
man.
Shave it all
I know you're holding on, but you're becoming a meme because every time you rub it on somebody, people are like, you know, look at this here. And it's like, I feel for you, bro. I mean, I ain't the one to talk because.
Listen, what's important is they won the basketball game.
That they did.
And they had me nervous first quarter.
Yeah.
But your guy, Josh Minot.
Yeah.
Started the game and unbelievable. What did he end up with? 21, 22 points last night?
Something like that.
Look really, really good.
Energy guy. And I think they got to play that way.
And minus the first quarter, defense looked really, really good last night.
Yeah, so, they got to play that. Like, look at Peyton Pritchard this year, right? It's amazing that most of his points come from inside the 3-point line. And, you know, it come from inside the key when he's, you know, a 6'1 point guard. But, like, if you're not shooting the ball the way that you normally are shooting, cut back on those threes and score in other ways.
Great point in the Twitch chat, and hello and good morning to those that are already up and watching this show on either Twitch or on YouTube. Maybe this is strategy on the part of Jaylen Brown.
Could be.
And he is hoping that nobody will defend him because they don't want to get Just for Mental over their uniform.
Brilliant. So brilliant.
I never thought about it that way.
Maybe.
Might be on purpose.
That stuff is hard to get out of clothes, too. Yeah. Like, those jerseys.
I don't need it. Thank you very much.
Yeah. The jersey, the poor equipment guys would have to get that out.
Yeah, so, I mean, that could be a good point. It's like, oh, damn, I got to cover JB today. Man, he's going to get his Beijing all over me.
The only reason I don't like it because I have to hear Wiggy say Beijing 400 times.
That's the name of it, Curtis.
I know.
You know, it's the name of it.
We don't have to. We know what it is.
Not everybody does, though.
Where does the term Beijing come from? Do tell.
Do you
not know?
No, that's the name of the brand. I think that's
the brand that one uses to do their hairline, correct?
Yeah, or like to kind of fill in their hairline.
So is it to extend just the hairline?
It's
help an old white dude out. Like, is it to just extend the hairline or is it to fill in the bald spot?
It's to clean up the hairline so you have a nice crispy lineup, and it's to, you know, to fill in the areas that might be a little bit patchy.
Okay.
I also think it's Bijen.
Oh. No.
Bijen.
It's Beijing.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Right. Go in the barbershop and say, ask them, what do you say? You got some Beijing? Is that what you say?
Bijen.
Bijen? All right. Go in there, barbershop.
Well, listen, a win for the Celtics, and they need those currently, so that is good news.
Hour number two, Jones and Keefe here on WEEI, trade deadline day in the NFL. One early morning, late night trade involving the Dallas Cowboys. Otherwise, nothing yet. Anything happens, we'll go right to the trade desk with Billy Lanny. Patriots have only subtracted, no additions yet. So we'll continue to monitor that. We got tiers. We're going to tier off the top and bottom teams in the NFL. Coming up at 11:30, everything in between. Plus, we got Tommy Curran on a Tommy Tuesday high noon. And Keith for Madness for you at 12:45. But let's get to the Celtics, Keith.
Oh, no.
That was if the Rockets game, as Terp put it, and we'll talk to Terp tomorrow, Pure Hoops with Terp at high noon.
Yeah.
If the Rockets game was a scheduled loss for the Celtics, this was a scheduled win.
Yeah, the Jazz should have been.
Are horrible.
Yep.
They were on the second night of a back-to-back. The Celtics were well-rested with something to prove after getting blitzed by the Rockets. The Jazz were without Walker Kessler last night. So I don't understand how that happened. And they started hot. They were hitting shots early.
Yep.
Scal was talking about it's the best ball movement he's seen. I think he said in years.
Oh,
I'd have to double check.
Yeah.
But he was just
ball was humming.
Bullish on the ball movement last night.
Yep.
And then they wind up losing to the Jazz 105-103.
Yeah, a bunch of different things.
Easily their grossest, most disgusting loss of the year.
So this was like all your fear. So you have a horrible quarter, right? The third quarter is where things just absolutely fell apart. You also, the fear of them not being a good rebounding team took place. They got absolutely demolished rebounding, and they couldn't throw it in the ocean. So if you're going to get out-rebounded by 20 and then shoot 11 of 51 from three.
Say that again.
11. That's, for 51.
Oh, that's not great.
No. No, it's not.
The 11's at least okay. 51?
11 for 51. Yes. Jaylen Brown 0 for 9 from behind the stripe. So they've had a lot of issues. They're worse than I thought they were going to be. I mean, they're 3-5, so that alone's bad. But just the way they've played, they're worse than I thought. And I'll say it right now, and this is going to pain me because he's a nice player and everybody seems to like him. Derek White is killing him. He's awful.
He's broken.
He is a mess. And so we all love Derek White. We love Derek White. You know what?
They broke him.
Wrong. We love Derek White when he's the fifth best player on your team.
Yeah.
When he's your second best player, you're screwed. I thought he was going to be an all-star this year. I thought he would be 20-plus points per game. Obviously, you're like, oh, his defense is always going to be there. But now he's going to be stepping up his rebounds because all your top rebounders from a year ago are gone. He's going to take a lot of threes, but that's okay because he's going to make a lot of threes. It's 8 games into the season for him. Horrible. He's been far and away their most disappointing player. And I know, you know, Peyton Pritchard struggled to shoot from 3, but he's tried to help you out in other ways. I think Derek White has been a disaster.
I'm with you, too. And, like, Derek White is... he represented Team USA. He's a fringy all-star type of player.
Should be an all-star.
So, right.
Or like knocking on the door of an all-star. Yeah, not like a guarantee.
Peyton Pritchard is sixth man of the year. I think fans like Peyton Pritchard, and there were heightened expectations about Peyton Pritchard, but I think people knew what Pritchard was. Yeah, this is, I mean, Derek White looks broken, and they broke him. He took 9 field goals last night, 8 were threes. Like, that ratio is horrible. He's the worst defender of this out of anybody on the Celtics team.
Yeah, it was actually a better percentage than he has for the season. I think for the season, he's shooting like 26%.
Oh, on 3. I'm sorry, on his makes. I just meant, I meant he took 8 of his 9 field goals were from 3. That's what I mean. That's just a broken ratio with the team.
Oh, he's now Duncan Robinson.
He's the worst defender of it, yeah.
He's Duncan Robinson on offense, but he's not even doing anything more.
He's Duncan Robinson.
But like, you need him to be way more than that. Again, Duncan Robinson... He's like in and out of the lineup in his career.
He's Duncan Robinson who will mix in like a block here and there.
Yeah,
a block. He'll get the block. Yeah.
People love him. People love Derek White.
I like him, but he is now miscast, and he is the grossest example of how they play basketball. The 11 out of 51.
Yeah.
And again, he had a better percentage last night than he's had. 3 out of 8 isn't horrible. 8 field goals. I'm sorry, 9 field goals and 8 of them are threes. That's horrible. It is. And he's the worst defender of it on a team where there's a lot of offenders.
I thought his like overall game was going to be better. I'm not surprised because even would watch last year games where Tatum was out or even some of the other guys were out and his scoring would go up. It was very relied on the 3-point shot. Like Derek White took a lot of threes, and we go pull up like the playoff logs and stuff from last year. He takes a lot of threes, but he would make more. He would also be involved. He'd be like more of a playmaker. He would just be like all over the court. We're like, oh my God, like what a winner, for lack of a better word. Like he was great. And it almost made you feel like, all right, you can afford to move on from Jrue Holiday because you have Derek White. And yeah, obviously Jason Tatum not being there is brutal, but a guy like Derek White will step up his scoring. He'll be better. He's scoring less. Like, how are you scoring less than when you had Porzingis and Horford and Tatum
taking
all these shots?
Because he's not open. And he's not taking, you know, any more catch-and-shoot threes. I think Terp talked to us about this last week, and I'm sure he has the metrics to back it up. They're like all these gross pull-up threes and, like, in-transition threes, and, you know, they're not catch-and-shoot where he's open and has time to shoot. For the most part, I'm sure some of those are in there. It's, like, off the dribble or in-transition, and it's these pull-up threes. And, yeah, they're just – he's not going to be as efficient, and that's why he's scoring less.
Well, because and now teams know, too. They're like, he's not the fifth option.
He's the number two option. Yeah. And so he doesn't get the benefit of defenses focusing on Tatum and Brown, and Porzingis is drawing double teams because of his size, and even Jrue Holiday can knock down open shots. You can't leave him. The spacing was better. There were more open looks. He can't benefit from that, so he's getting exposed. Like, I agree with the Twitch chat, and it scrolled past, but somebody in there said he's getting exposed in a big way.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
He is.
Yeah. It's bad.
That doesn't make him a bad player. That makes their approach this offseason offensive. But
he went from being, like, the most underrated player in the league to maybe now it swings the other way. And that's what happens with every player. Like, you're only the most underrated player in the league until you become overrated. And now, you're right, he's technically miscast, but going into the season, I didn't think he was. Going into the season, I was like, all right, good. Like, this is a guy that the 1-2 punch of Brown and White is going to be good enough, and then you're going to sort of be in the mix. Maybe Tatum comes back. And by in the mix, I mean like for a playoff spot, not to win the whole thing. But then Tatum comes back, and you kind of go from there. And then, you know, in the years to come, he can go back to being the third option, or depending on what happens with your roster, maybe the fourth option. But right now, he's the second option, and he's killing them.
57% of their shots, 51 out of 89, were threes last night. And it's like, you saw it, was you saw it at the close end of the game. They were down, I don't have the game log right in front of me, but I want to say they were down like seven. And Jalen like went to the hoop three straight times, or like maybe Pritchard went once and Jalen went to, and they like immediately closed the gap. Like right away, they were right back in the game. It's like, well, no kidding.
No, but take threes.
Put the ball on the floor, go to the hoop. Now, the irony is Derek White actually hit a three to put him in front. How they got back into the game was putting their head down and going to the basket. And the modern NBA, I get you want to shoot threes. You need to be able to launch threes. You don't need to shoot 51 of them. You don't need to attempt the most in the league. It's been a minute since I've checked this. They were attempting the most. They were basically attempting the same.
I can't imagine that
as
changed
a year ago.
Yeah.
And let me give it to you. Celtics, rather, three-point attempts, 47.8. That's the most by at least two attempts a game, rather. More than Cleveland, okay? Their three-point percentage, as of right now, they're 29th. They're 31.2. So they attempt the most. They shoot the second worst. The only team they outshoot from three is the Indiana Pacers. Text line. Guys, if you bring me your car 51 times and I only get it right 11 times, what are you going to say?
And well, I mean, they're not going
to
make
it. It doesn't need to be that high of a hit rate.
Yeah.
But that is drastically low, shockingly low.
Yeah.
Most attempts, second fewest makes in terms of percentage in the league, second worst percentage. So that to me is offensive. And then I got to hear Jaylen Brown after the game. Did you see I know you saw what happened.
Yeah.
What'd you think of the no call on the quote unquote trip?
I actually didn't think it was that bad call.
So I'm with you.
I kind of didn't. And I was like, I wanted to take Jalen's side, honestly. I wanted to take the Celtics side, but
how
I watched
much
it. I'm
you
like,
hate refs? I'm actually stunned you have the same opinion.
Well, okay. I watched it. I'm like, am I missing something? So you watch it live, and then you watch the replay of it, and I'm like, I don't know. It looked like Jalen was slipping anyway. And maybe he's slipping because of that, but like there wasn't contact when you were slipping, and then you kind of like stepped over him
a little bit. Hear Scal and Drew Carter having a conniption.
Well,
and I'm like, well, okay. So like, let's see the replay. He must have kicked his leg out. He fell on the floor. He didn't kick his leg out. I agree. It also looked like Jalen was slipping to the floor. There was a pool report after the game. The official.
Because, like, think about this. Like, I don't want to overcomplicate things, but if a guy falls in front of you and say it, like, but he doesn't touch you and then it makes you, like, travel. Well, yeah, like, you traveled because the guy fell on the floor, but if he didn't touch you, then it's not a foul on that player. So, like, and this is the same thing where, like, there was, like, very little, if any, kind of contact. And, yeah, he ended up getting kind of tripped up because the guy was down, but I don't think he fouled him.
Kevin Scott, the crew chief, to a pool report, said, quote, during live play, the crew observed George slip and fall prior to Brown slipping on the same spot, resulting in the ball becoming loose prior to any contact. So I mean,
kind of agree with that.
I do, too.
I don't want to.
And, look, if they called it, I'd be like, yeah, whatever. I wouldn't have been, like, irate if they called it.
Right.
But I didn't think that was an egregious no call. I know not everyone agrees, including Jalen Brown. This is Jalen whining about it after the game. And this is important to know. I didn't realize this. I thought this was at the podium. Jalen typically talks at the podium. Apparently, this was just a scrum, so he didn't go to the podium. He did this interview while Derek White was at the podium.
Nice.
So a little bit sneaky by Celtics Media Relations. Maybe they knew Jalen was hot. And apparently, he only took two questions.
Okay.
So this is Jalen Brown sounding off after the game in a game where they shot 11 out of 51 from three, a game where they can't box out on the go-ahead putback. We haven't talked about that.
Your guy Nurkic.
My guy Nurkic. I was always a believer. Always love Yusef Nurkic. Yep. I have a long-standing track record on that, if you know what I'm talking about.
Uh-huh.
And also, Nemias Keita missed a free throw that would have put him up later in the game. He only hit one of two. So all those other things happen, and this is what Jalen decides to do after the game.
You can't have a mistake like that as an official at that point in the game. It's fourth quarter. It's a minute left in the game or less. And you completely, the whole staff blows the fuck off. You know what I mean? Cost us a game. Like, unacceptable. You can make mistakes at any point of the game, but right there, that wasn't good. That wasn't good. That's unacceptable. And then they're telling me, like, oh, like, we didn't see it. Like, how none of you see it? Like, you can't trip somebody in the fourth quarter and then just be a no call. It's some bull.
That's what cost them the game. That was the whole game came down to that one play. Now, I mean, there was under a minute to go. I get it. You're up by one. But also, I think if you're Jalen Brown and you have the handle that you have, you might not get the benefit of the doubt. Right, like if it's somebody else, maybe they do. But with him, he loses the ball quite a bit.
Yeah.
At least that was with his right hand, wasn't his left.
He tends to lose the basketball when he's just dribbling by himself, not tripping over somebody.
This is a good text. Trust me, I want to be against the refs. I also want to be for the Celtics, but that's not a play where I would see it that way. This text is a good one. The house is on fire, and we're complaining about the Pepsi stains on the carpet. Thanks, Jaylen Brown. No, seriously, this team is a mess right now. They're 3-5. They just lost to the Jazz in another game where they had a second-half lead. And I know that's not all that uncommon in the NBA, but still, it's not like you just got blitzed from this game and you're out of it. And you lose at home to an inferior team. You miss a million threes. You get out-rebounded, not 2-1, but you get smoked on the glass. They out-rebound by 19 rebounds. A bunch of your guys have bad games again. And Jaylen Brown's like, oh, that call that so went against us, that cost us the game.
They have the ball down one with 47 seconds left. I'm sorry, up
one. No, they're up one.
With 47 seconds left. Jaylen has the ball. He turns it over. Markkanen goes up. Namias Keita gets fouled. He hits one of two. So you hit two free throws, you're up. He doesn't do that. Nope. If he boxes out on Nurkic at the end of the game... You would have won.
Right.
Never mind the 11 out of 51. Never mind the Jazz are terrible. Never mind they're without one of their best players last night.
You still could have won the game even after that call.
And the Jazz are on the second night of a back-to-back while you've been waiting. I thought they were going to answer after the Rockets spanked them embarrassingly on Saturday night. And the Rockets are a better team, and they showed it. But I thought the Celtics would have something to answer to, and they didn't. And there were a million different ways they could have won that game. There's a million things to be frustrated at instead of some no-call. That I'm with you. I think the officials got right.
Mm-hmm.
And crying about that after the game tells me things are a little off.
If Brown makes one of his 9 threes, they win the game.
Yeah.
If you play it that way.
Nick is a little steamed at Jaylen, by the way.
Steamed at Jaylen?
Yeah.
Why did you lose a bet?
I do.
Oh, I thought, weren't you not thrilled about his assist to turnover ratio and all these other things?
How do you have 34 assists and 31 turnovers on the season?
It's pretty bad.
Oh, yeah, that's not good.
And you also made the point.
I get guys aren't making shots, but you still turn the ball over 31 times already?
And you made
it's
what
eight games in.
What's Pritchard? Wasn't he like 42 to 9?
41 and 9.
Okay. So
it's doable.
People are making shots with Pritchard, and he's not turning it over every other second, and Jaylen Brown is. So what's up with that?
No, that's tough.
Never mind the effort being questioned after the game. Both Derek White and Joe Mazzulla questioned the Celtics' effort after the game. I guess no one talked after the game on Saturday night.
This Jaylen, is way worse.
Jaylen only took two questions
be.
Last night and kind of hid in the middle of Derek White, and then he did that. Like,
yikes.
I wonder if things are more off than we even realize with the Celtics sitting here at 3-5.
Just turn it over to Hugo. Hugo and Garza, those guys play hard. You don't think Hugo plays hard?
He plays hard. I don't know if he plays well. I'm okay with Garza.
Garza's not bad.
And I'm okay with Minot. Although that's worn off
lawnmower,
a little bit.
Yeah, cool.
I'm okay with those guys. I don't know how okay I am with Hugo. He plays hard. I mean, he's definitely out
plays
there.
Hard.
He's trying his hardest.
Okay.
Let's pat him on his head for trying his hardest, but I don't know if I like what he's doing out there.
Yeah, this is rough. It's a rough go.
Mike is in Connecticut on the Celtics. Go ahead, Mike.
Good morning, gentlemen. Hope everybody's doing all right. So it's a funny situation when the way the narrative is when people talk about the officiating, because if the Celtics were a good team and they were contenders, I guarantee you everybody's narrative about the officiating last night would have been completely flipped. They would have said, oh, I can't believe he didn't get this call. Jaylen Brown's a superstar. But because the Celtics aren't contenders and because we don't have Tatum and nobody's expecting much out of us, it's like, oh, why are you complaining about the officiating? And everybody's narrative changes. But the fact is, Jaylen Brown's an all-NBA player. He's one of the top 15 players in the NBA. And he didn't get the call when every other top 15, 20 player in the NBA gets that call. And
Mike,
if you look at it,
Mike, this
Keontae
is a,
George.
Mike, this is a fair point. Honestly, like, do you think why Jaylen's so upset?
Yeah, reputation.
Is Jaylen's like, everybody else gets that. Tatum would have got that call. Why don't I? I mean, if that might explain
maybe
why Jaylen was so annoyed, is he's like, I'm now the number one on this team. And I don't know what that says about Jaylen or how I should even feel about it, but is that why he was so frustrated? That's an interesting point.
That is a good point. Yeah, that's a good point. And because I think that's a fair way of looking at it, too. It's not necessarily that it was the right or wrong call. It's just we know it's the NBA. We know LeBron's getting that call.
Everybody gets that call. And Jaylen,
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander almost got the call. He didn't play in the game.
Jaylen puts himself in that group.
Yeah,
honestly,
fair.
I had not thought about that. That's why
but
he's
also,
so pissed.
Now it's early in the year, but it's going to be hard to put yourself in that group when your first chance to be the number one guy and you're on a sub 500 team. Those guys don't get all the calls. They don't get all the credit. Somebody scores 25 points on a bad team. It's not like that special. And you won't be all NBA unless your team is in the playoffs. I mean, that not very infrequently does a guy make the All-NBA team if they're not a playoff team that year.
If you guys don't think that cost us the game, you guys should not talk about basketball.
All right.
Yes, every other play should have been done, but that play did cost us the game. Again.
I don't think it did.
With the no call there.
Yeah.
Kata hits his free throws, you're up. Kata boxes out, you win. I mean, it's as simple as that. Never mind if you make one more out of your 51 threes.
They also weren't guaranteed to score on that possession. Or, it's not like it took points off the board.
It's a good point. Or, I don't know, you take 42 threes and go to the basket more, yeah. Which they had a lot of success at last night, and maybe the game goes different.
I watched that replay like a million times. I don't still think it was a foul.
617.
Slips.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.